Pickaxe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello and welcome to the podcast of this week's One Life Left Radio show. I'm Simon Byron.
I am Steve Curran.
It's a slightly disjointed show this week for reasons that will become apparent. No spoilers. Mm-hmm. But if anybody has a car, I can... I might need one.
I have a question for you, Simon.
Far away.
You're about to have a long flight to the United States. Last time we were on a long flight together, my flight was illuminated literally by you playing RoboCop, a very violent game on your ROG ally, and also illuminating the cabin with your gamer lights. Yes. I want to know, what are you going to play on the flight out to and back from San Francisco this time?
Well, that flight, I was slightly embarrassed by what I was playing because it was so violent. And I've been doing what we always do before a long flight. I've been loading up a device with stuff that can entertain me so that I will just do none of that and stare, looking at the seat in front of me, getting quite emotional when I fly. So I'll probably be doing that. But nonetheless, I have loaded it up and I'm going to be playing, hopefully I get Banishers done, which doesn't sound like the best ways to describe a game that you're quite enjoying. But I'm going to get that done because Dragon's Dogma 2 is on the week I come back. And so I want to get into that before we then, you know, get into Ghosts of Tsushima, which Dex is very excited about, and Final Fantasy VII Rebirth soon. So there's a lot ahead. But I did, so EA stealth dropped loads of classics onto Steam last week.
I saw a bit of a LinkedIn kerfuffle about this.
Oh, that developer did very well out of that kerfuffle.
I bet.
Where they mentioned that they'd been displaced out of New and Trending because EA dropped loads of classic games which all appeared in New and Trending. And yeah, absolutely annoying. I can see that. But I have to say, if you're claiming that all that your 10 years of development and marketing was built up to featuring on New and Trending, then then I'm afraid you're not doing it properly. And you know, the traction that you got on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Reddit, where I saw the same post, the same complaints, probably did you a lot better than appearing on New and Trending.
So well done.
So I downloaded The Saboteur, which is half price on Steam. It's weird, isn't it? Because it's been on GOG for a while, and I think maybe even on EA Play, which is part of Game Pass. But, you know, I like stuff being on Steam, and so it was £4. I thought I'd just fire it up. And then as with all of these games, if you're playing on a handheld PC, what you want to do is launch the game first, just in case it needs an internet check, because you don't want to be above the Atlantic, Steve, do you? And now you're saying, oh, I need to check the internet. You go, oh, I just want to play this. So anyway, fired it up. Bought it, downloaded it, fired it up. Let me just say, I am very pleased that I did not fire that game up with somebody sat next to me on a plane. And I'm not just talking about the awkward graphics configurations that make the text look all blurry, Steve. Mm-hmm. It opens in the sort of establishment that I've only ever been in twice. I never wanted to go in at all. The first was with a snooker player. Mm-hmm. The second, I forget why it was, but it wasn't because I wanted to go there. But it's the sort of place where...
You're talking about a library.
It must be very hot in there, Steve. Because... anyway, that's how the opening scene is, with some dancing ladies.
Right, okay, wow.
And so, yeah, I would have been embarrassed to play that on next to somebody on. Hi, we're going to sit next to you for 12 hours.
With your ROG lights blaring like
yeah, drawing your neighbour's attention to your screen as the lights illuminate their eyes, and then they look at some, you know, I mean, it's just a body, or it's just,
it's just,
a few bodies wiggling and a jiggling. So anyway, that's probably what I'll be doing.
All right, I won't be doing anything because I'm not getting on that flight. I am envious, but I'm also looking forward to your stories when you come back.
Okay, I'll try and find some. I mean, it's going to be a boring week. I mean, it really is, to the extent that, you know, somebody said, oh, there's an investment dinner on Wednesday night. Do you want to come? And I looked at my diary and I thought, none of my friends are over there, so why don't I hang out with my enemies?
Good. All right. I thought it was a good show today, despite the disjointed nature. Yes. I hope you do too, listeners.
Yes, thank you for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks for 1 week, and then we'll be off again for Easter, and then we'll be back, probably.
All right. See you then. Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to One Life Left on Resonance 104.4 FM. We're a video game radio show. My name is Stee, S-T-E, Curran.
Hello, my name is Simon Byron, B-Y-R-O-N. Who was I talking to? It was a while ago, but I'm so used to spelling out my surname that it was like a family get together or what have you, and I was speaking to somebody about me coming, and they said, and I spelt out my surname to a member of the family that got the same surname. There we go. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm all right. It's a grim day, though, in South London.
I tell you what, Steve, it's a grim time. Mm. I'm not having the best time at all at the moment. And that's underscored by the fact that we're hastily recording this because soon I'm going to be visited by a man.
You are,
and that worries me. I've had to interact with this man on the phone 3 times already today, and he's going to come round, and he's just given a rough time, and I've said, yeah, that's fine, even though I'll be recording a radio show, because I'm too intimidated. He's coming round to fix Kate's car, which won't start. Mm-hmm. So yesterday I drove it to a garage, and so it did start yesterday.
I was going to say, this story is falling apart.
Doesn't stack up. Well, we'll come back to that, but... it's got some lights that come on the dashboard. Now, you know, lights come on at expected times when you're indicating, when the key's turned but the engine hasn't started, when the lights are on, dipped beam or full beam. These lights remain on, and I don't know what they mean. And so I had to drive to a garage and say, look, there's some lights on the car, don't know what they mean. And he came out and he says, yeah, it needs to be diagnosed. We can't do that here. But he gave me the business card of a man that I needed to call this morning. So the business card doesn't have a name on it. And it's at an address that's on an industrial estate, right? So it is a black business card with blind embossed letters. So I think it's for people with cars cooler than mine. And I rang him up and he said, I dropped it around QuickFit yesterday. Spoke to a man. The man recommended you as another man. He said, okay. He said, can you drop it around this morning? I said, no. I said, no problem. He said, do you know where we are? I said, yes, I didn't. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to appear cool. Anyway, it now won't start. So I've had to ring him up, tell him it won't start. explain that I've tried to jump start it using leads that I had under the stairs.
Hold on. How?
And that didn't work.
You know how to do that?
No, I don't. I was Googling via the AA website. It told me how to do it. I'm a modern man, so yeah. I have leads in one hand and a smartphone in the other, giving me instructions. Anyway, so I called him up. I was supposed to drop it around and leave it, come back, record the radio show. He said, oh, don't worry. I'm out on a job. He said, I'll come and find you. And then he said, it's not as if you're going anywhere, is it? And I really laughed.
I mean, that is a joke he has told 1,000 times before. That's one of his stock things, stock pieces of banter to get people like you.
But he's right. And I laughed as if it was the first time he'd ever said it, because I'm intimidated by a man that's coming round. I mean, it's better than the last time I spoke to a plumber. I for some reason, just started saying cool at the end of of every sentence. And every time he said something, I just went, yeah, cool.
Do you not default to talking about football? That's what I do. Whenever I have a man who can do things around, I somehow leverage the fact that I'm a Stockport County fan, which gives me credibility.
Yeah, I mean, would that have been weirder if I just called up a man in a garage and just said, what football team do you support?
No, I mean, I've done it more bluntly than that. Just
hello, can I help you? Yeah, just wondering what football team you support, so we can enjoy a bit of banter.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about that.
I know you lost. We won in the most stressful fashion with a goal, I think, in the 88th minute, 1-0 at home.
Well, maybe you could come over, Steve, and talk to the man who's going to arrive at some point in the house. That means I'm going to. And yeah, I obviously didn't tell him I did anything, because I don't want him to think or know that I record a computer games radio show. Oh, what? And you don't know how a car works? No, I don't.
No, that works out as well, because then he'll want to talk to you about the games that he's been playing, which will have nothing in common with the games. They will be FIFA, EA Sports FC. But he'll call it FIFA, and you'll want to correct him to EA Sports FC, and you'll try, and he'll say, no, it's FIFA, mate.
Maybe I'll get him on as a guest. Maybe we could get a mechanic to review some driving games.
Yeah.
By the way, that's a stereotype. How do you know he's not a fan of indie games?
Absolutely.
Of emotional black and white indie games, Steve?
You are completely right. In the same way, I shouldn't have stereotyped you and thought you were not. You were a man who didn't know how leads to a car.
I volunteered that information. And, you know, just because he hits cars with hammers doesn't mean he's not a fan.
Just because he has an actual useful skill that he can do things and improve people's lives with, just because he makes the world better doesn't mean, yeah.
I've not asked him how much this is going to cost me either.
Well, there you go. It is going to cost you. You need to drop in that you're a QPR fan as quickly as possible.
Okay, I will do. What's been going wrong in your life, Steve?
Oh, good question. I think I'm fine. I think I'm getting a bit of anxiety about not going to GDC next week, which is why this is going to be our last show for a couple of weeks, isn't it?
Because you're
off to California, where it won't be these sort of grim white skies. You'll have beautiful weather, beautiful food, and you'll have no time to enjoy any of it, because you'll be stuck in meetings in grim hotel rooms. But I'm still envious of you.
Yeah, are you? I'm envious of you staying back here, I think. I was looking at my diary this morning and it's just, it looks like it's going to be a nightmare. And of course, nothing is in one place. So I'm now trying to move meetings around, because it turns out that somebody wanted to meet me at Pocket Gamer Connects, which is at the Hibernia, wherever that is. And then someone else, so that's for... That's at 2:30 on the Tuesday. And then the next meeting that the system has given me is at 3 at the Hotel Zeta. It is perfect, isn't it? I'm going to be getting the steps in. And I'll be late. I did agree to have donuts with some people, some indie publishers, at 2 o'clock on Wednesday, if the weather's nice.
I will miss things like that, those sort of collisions where you're not quite sure what's going to happen, but you are going to eat donuts. I won't miss the frantic moving from meeting to meeting and worried that you're missing out on stuff. And also worried that you're not availing yourself of every opportunity while you're in this very expensive place, having paid a lot of money to be there and thinking, oh, opportunity is just slipping me by every hour. I should be doing this. And all I want to do is go to bed. So, yeah. But I'm going to miss out on all of those opportunities by just not paying for the flight to go out there. I'm looking forward to your bulletins. Are you going to record anything out there? Record a little flavour piece like we did in Tokyo?
Maybe. I bought some wireless mics, Steve, from AliExpress for Ramona's YouTube career. And they work quite well. They were £8.
Ramona's on YouTube?
Yeah, she's not actually, they aren't public, but she does want to be a YouTuber. Of course she does, because she's six.
I wish that you would communicate the exciting things that I've got to look forward to in a year rather than things that I can anticipate and dread. Anyway.
No, it's all right. Actually, making little private videos. Mm-hmm. And you know, me editing them and learning a bit more about that has been quite productive. Great. But she says, "Can you upload that for everybody now?" And I'm like,
"Daddy, why has it only got 3 views?"
Well, she's not looking; she doesn't understand views or likes or anything like that yet. So.
Okay,
but they're nice little. So we've done 2 so far: scooting around town, and one where we went running.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. That's exciting. We're a video game radio show. We do talk about video games sometimes, and we're going to do that this episode in the review section at the end of the show. At least we'll talk about whatever you've been talking to us about in the letters section. And we have some news coming up right now with our dedicated news reader. His name is Charles Bott.
Me, Charles Bott 1.1. In celebration of Mario Day, Nintendo is adding 3 classic Mario titles to its Switch Online Game Boy library on March 12th. Dr. Mario, Mario Golf, and Mario Tennis. The original Dr. Mario will have players battling viruses with monochrome pills, while the Game Boy Color versions of Mario Golf and Tennis, both developed by Camelot Software Planning, offer unique RPG-lite story modes. All these nostalgic gems are included in the standard Switch Online subscription. So, dust off your virtual rackets and golf clubs, it's time to revisit the simpler days of gaming. In honor of this day, I decided to immerse myself in these classic games, much like how George Stobbart, another gaming icon, immerses himself in solving mysteries in the Broken Sword series. I spent hours battling viruses in Dr. Mario, reminiscent of Stobbart's battle against the Templars. I also took to the virtual courts and greens, where the strategic gameplay reminded me of George's knack for solving puzzles. Just as Stobbart is an integral part of the adventure gaming genre, Mario is a cornerstone of platform gaming. Both characters, in their own unique ways, have left an indelible mark on the gaming world. Thus, celebrating Mario Day was not just about revisiting childhood memories, but also appreciating the evolution of gaming and the characters that have shaped it.
These are good games.
They're great games, aren't they? Everybody's literally everybody's happy about this.
I'm not happy because I've let my subscription lapse to Switch Online, and now I have to go back to play these games that I've already played. So,
literally everybody was happy. Nintendo went pretty big this year on Mario Day, Mar 10. Mm-hmm. Bigger than I think I've seen them go before, even putting out a special broadcast on a Sunday. That must have annoyed the games journalists, mustn't it? who had to work yesterday. We're recording it on the Monday, which is fine for us. Show goes out on a Monday. Be live. Oh, no, it won't be live. It'll be Tuesday next year, won't it? Because of the leap. Oh, no, we've had the leap year.
I don't know that we should try and work this out live.
Yeah, no, fair enough. So they announced that. They announced a couple of other bits and bobs. Steve, did you see that they announced the sequel? Sorry, second Super Mario Brothers movie. It's not a sequel.
I did see that, and I saw so much speculation about what this would center around. People assume Wario and Waluigi. There's a lot of hope that Wario will be Danny DeVito.
Is there?
You heard it here first. Or, you know, a long time after you read it on Reddit, which is what I was reading yesterday, and it's presumably just pure speculation anyway. The only thing that they've teased is Yoshi, right, at the end of the first Super Mario movie.
I don't remember that. But what surprised me most about this is that, so they announced it's coming out 3rd of April 2026, so just over 2 years. A new film based on the world of Super Mario Brothers. Mm-hmm. But the Illumination's Chris Meledrani said, "I'm thrilled to announce our return to Super Mario Brothers. We start animation soon, and rest assured we'll be stressing over every detail to get it right." Start animation soon? I would have thought, well, does it take longer than this or not? Have they all got AI and supercomputers to do it for them these days?
I've no idea, but they've got the Mario sprites. How hard can it be?
Yes.
Just bosh them in.
Bit of video capture.
Watched the Mario movie again quite recently. Still thought it was subpar. Mediocre.
They didn't mention your thoughts on part of their official press release. Broadcast.
We aim to address all the feedback that One Life Left gave us. How many times have you seen it, you and Ramona?
Once.
Okay.
Maybe that was the point of the end of his quote. Rest assured, we'll be stressing over every detail.
Well, thanks.
Maybe that was a nod to you.
Yeah. I've had quite a Nintendo-y week this week because I've had to set up this.
Oh yes.
You know that I had to do this because I WhatsApped you in a panic, didn't I? Didn't understand it. Felt like someone from outside video games trying to deal with video games. How to set up a child account on a Nintendo Switch. Googled it, absolutely useless, as Google tends to be these days, just loads of clickbaity AI generated pieces that tell you nothing. And it turns out it's quite fiddly. Did you not find it fiddly?
I'll be honest with you, Steve, I did find it reasonably straightforward, like surprisingly straightforward, because
you have to go online and create an account before you do anything with your Switch, right? Or did I do this backwards?
So Steve and I picked up Switch Lites, mm-hmm, in Tokyo, and we gave ours to Ramona for her birthday, mm-hmm, and which was a while ago, and so I don't remember the specific steps, but I think, yeah, that you have this weird child account because our daughters are under whatever age it is.
You see, already you've said weird child account, which means you're undercutting your "I found this quite straightforward" thing.
Well, no, the reason why it's weird is that it's not associated to an email address. It's just associated to a sign-in name. And I remember this with Dexter, where the logon is just a username as opposed to tied to an email address, which I did find a little bit odd, particularly when you're buying things from the store, because you wonder about account recovery. But, you know, given how widely used my Switch is, I mean, you know, I have people from overseas coming around all the time. So I've got so many many user accounts on mine that, you know, it's just natural.
Yeah, this is the first time I've done it, but I had to, and maybe I did this wrong, maybe a listener can correct me, but I had to go to the website first, add a family member to that. And then when you create your login on the Switch, you have to sign in via your Nintendo account, and it's linked to your account, but there is a sub part of that profile, which is this is your family member. I understand how complex these processes can be, particularly when you're trying to make them both child-friendly and secure for children. And it is quite slick now. I like the little alerts you get on your phone when people have been playing. It's quite exciting.
The 2024 BAFTA Games Awards nominations have been announced, and it's shaping up to be a web-slinging showdown, with Marvel's Spider-Man 2 leading the pack with 9 nominations. Hot on its heels are Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, and The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, all contending for the coveted Best Game Award. Also in the running are the underdogs, Dave the Diver and Super Mario Bros. Wonder. The awards ceremony, set to take place at London's Queen Elizabeth Hall, will be live-streamed on April 11th. This year, BAFTA broke with tradition by releasing a long list of 60 games ahead of time. The power is now in the hands of the players, with voting open for the EE Players' Choice Award. Should a game that BAFTA isn't particularly fond of win the big awards this year, we might see some rather amusing changes to the rules. Perhaps they'll introduce a new category, BAFTA's Least Favorite, to ensure that game doesn't go unnoticed. Or maybe they'll implement a rule that games featuring certain disliked elements, say too many spiders or not enough British accents, are automatically disqualified. They could even decide that the Best Game Award can only be won by a game featuring a character named Dave. Who knows? With BAFTA, anything is possible.
Did people like Spider-Man, like really like Spider-Man 2, or is this another product of Sony stacking BAFTA with lots of their employees?
Yes. I mean, who really knows, Steve? Who really knows? Although, you know, that's certainly speculation, isn't it? I liked it. I haven't finished it. And actually, I was thinking at the weekend, was wondering whether I actually will finish it, given I've got so much other stuff to play at the moment. So it might be winging its way to eBay soon. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed what I played of it, certainly.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's good. Tears of the Kingdom or Baldur's Gate 3 for me, though.
Not Fortnite?
I have not knowingly played it. I mean,
not Lethal Company?
You know what? I haven't played that either. But people like it. The kids like it, don't they? It's not for me. It's not for me, Simon. I just like FIFA, EA Sports FC.
Yes. So what Charles was alluding to there was that they've changed the way that the awards have been handled this year. And there's snarky industry speculation that it was done because they weren't happy that Vampire Survivors won it last year. So we shall see. But yes, it's the BAFTAs. It's reassuringly unsurprising, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
You know, little nod to something indie in there with Lethal Company, and the rest is all triple, quadruple, super game standard.
Do you think we should have our own awards? The One Life Left Awards. Get Charles Bott to host. You know, it's awards season. I'm getting envious of the BAFTAs and the Oscars and every other game's structure has their own awards, but we don't.
I was listening to the coverage of the Oscars this morning. Mm-hmm. Not out of choice. It was just on the radio station I was listening to. I didn't tune in to find out what everybody was wearing. But there was great excitement about just reporting from who was going to a party. Oh, I'm outside the Vanity Fair Oscars party, and that's where all the nominees and et cetera come along. So who would be the media partner for the part for the games industry party? Would it just be all round Guy Cocker's house?
The European Union is investigating Apple's termination of Epic Games' iOS developer account, citing potential violations of the Digital Markets Act. However, Apple has since reinstated the account, marking a victory for Epic Games and a cautionary tale for other gatekeepers. Despite this, Epic Games insists that Apple's initial decision was a severe violation of the DMA, accusing them of suppressing competition. Apple defended its actions, stating it had the right to terminate the account based on previous court rulings from their ongoing antitrust legal battle with Epic. In a humorous twist, one can imagine other absurd measures Apple might take to prevent Epic from establishing a store on iOS. Perhaps they'll require all app developers to submit their code in ancient Sanskrit, or insist that all app updates must be delivered to Apple HQ by carrier pigeon. Maybe they'll even demand that every app icon must include a hidden image of an apple, or that all in-app purchases must be paid for in rare vintage Apple stock certificates. Whatever the case, it's clear that the battle between these tech giants is far from over.
Did you read the letters between Apple and Epic?
I did not, Steve. I think that's illegal, isn't it?
No, they published them. I think
Oh, okay.
One of the sides put them out there.
And so, obviously, love reading people's private correspondence. So
you go through their emails as well?
Straight up on those PDFs. And here is my understanding of what has happened here. Maybe you can fill me in, correct me if I'm wrong. So, Apple have a store where they sell everything and they take 30%. And Epic said, that's not on. We want to sell our game for your system and not have you take 30%, ideally.
Because we only take 12 on ours.
Yeah, so why don't we just be able to... Why can't we just sell it and you take nothing? That seems fairer to us. And Apple said, no, you can't do that. And then they rowed about that for ages, went to court, and the judge seems to have said, this is ridiculous, Apple. Of course everyone's allowed to put their own store on your device. But also, if they do, you can kick them off. Which seems to be a bit of a flaw. They're totally allowed to do it. Honestly, do what you want, but you're also allowed to just ban their account. So this seems to be, I read the thing, it seems to, they cited the judge's ruling saying Apple are perfectly allowed to say that we don't want you as a customer anymore. And that's what they
interesting.
Done.
What brand of mobile phone did the judge have? It sounds like they're an Apple shill, doesn't it?
Well, that is my understanding of what happened. And Simon, I am not a lawyer, so I may be completely wrong about that. But it is quite funny to watch this happen. And it will have real consequences one way or another. Even though this story, like many stories in One Life Left, keeps coming back and back and back, I am genuinely fascinated to see what happens next.
In a classic case of You Can't Fire Me, I Quit, indie developer Owen Deary of Fireface Studio has made his game Small Radios, Big Televisions free to download after being informed by the new owners, Warner Brothers Discovery, that it will be delisted. The game, once a proud resident of both Steam and PS4 stores, is set to be evicted in a few weeks due to business changes. Deary, ever the gentleman, has asked fans to keep their pitchforks at bay while he continues to explore deserted factories in search of data cassettes, or something like that. As for Warner Bros. Games, perhaps gamers can get creative in their responses. They could start by sending them a flood of emails, all containing nothing but the phrase, "You've activated my trap card." Or maybe they could organize a mass virtual sit-in, where everyone logs into their games and does nothing but sit there, effectively clogging their servers. Or, for a more humorous approach, they could all change their gamer tags to variations of Warner Bros. Are Dummies. The possibilities are endless, and laughter is the best form of protest after all.
The possibilities are indeed endless. I'm just looking up Small Radios, Big Televisions.
Okay.
Don't remember it. Do you remember it?
I don't remember it, no.
Maybe we should play it. I think I have played it. Yeah.
Okay.
I have played it. I think I thought it was really good.
Right.
So well, someone can find the review on One Life Left.
It came out in November 2016. Caught in the crossfire of corporate takeovers, etc. Warner Brothers Discovery have said that all Adult Swim games are being removed from digital stores because they don't have the capacity to support them. Now, as somebody who works at a games publisher and that has plenty of games that are, out, I would like to suggest that Warner Brothers Discovery, that once a game is released, generally as one that came out 8 years ago, there's not a lot of support you need to do, really. You just sit back and collect the money, and then you pass some of that money on to the person that made it. So this feels quite disingenuous, really. Now, they may not have the resource to account for the royalties. That might be something. But just to sort of wrap it up as this general, we can't support it on store, feels very wrong. And it's a shame. I'm surprised that he's been able to sort of make his game for free, because I think sort of most contracts typically prohibit you from doing that sort of thing. But, given that they are effectively killing it off, I imagine that they don't care. Very, very weird.
It is weird. What do you think is behind it then? If it you know, if their reasons don't entirely check out, like you say, you know, maybe there's an accountancy thing there, but you can't imagine that costs anything. Oh,
I think it's simply that they can't be bothered.
Right. Just tidying up, basically.
Cleaning. Can't be bothered. So a PC and PlayStation game that came out in 2016, you know, what are the rules? If you're not actively promoting it, and you can actively promote it on PC, on consoles, they all have their different rules when you can and can't. But, you know, that requires a bit of effort. But, I mean, generally speaking, if you're not doing anything with it, it will be earning very, very small amounts of money, which will have a manpower cost at Warner Brothers when they're, you know, already trying to do Hollywood accounting on all of their other stuff.
Well, it is a very, very good game. I can confirm that now. I've scrolled through enough screenshots and do remember. And if you want confirmation of that, you only have to listen to One Life Left in 2016.
Former Xbox, Sega and EA executive Peter Moore has proposed that the future of console generations is under examination. Amidst lackluster Xbox sales and the PlayStation 5 approaching the end of its life cycle, Moore thinks industry leaders might be questioning the worth of pouring billions into another console cycle, as opposed to concentrating on multi-platform and cloud initiatives. He suggests that the industry's present challenges, such as layoffs and financial strains, could prompt both companies and gamers to question the necessity for costly, dedicated gaming hardware. Moore believes these discussions are part of a wider conversation about the role of AI and cloud technology in gaming. Now imagine a conversation between Peter Moore and the consoles, each with their own unique accents. Peter Moore with a British accent. You know, Xbox, PlayStation, your sales are not as robust as they used to be. Is it time to reconsider our strategy? Xbox with an American accent. Well, Peter, we've been thinking about that. Maybe it's time to focus more on multi-platform and cloud initiatives. PlayStation with a Japanese accent. Agreed, Xbox. The financial pressures and layoffs in the industry are making us question the need for expensive, dedicated gaming hardware. Peter Moore. Exactly, it's all part of a broader conversation about the role of AI and cloud technology in gaming. We need to adapt and evolve with the times.
I was trying to actually get him to do to do some accents, but that was... I mean, it's one way of doing it, isn't it?
It's phenomenal. Well done. Console hardware, dead.
That's dead, mate.
Dead. It's over.
Again. But haven't Microsoft said that they're definitely doing another one and that it is going to be the most powerful you've ever seen?
100%.
Again.
It's going to be the best. Imagine, think of the best console you can think of and then double it. Make it even better. It's going to be better than Sony's. Of course, they'll be discussing this. They'll be discussing everything, or you would hope leadership is discussing what the best strategy for the company going forward is. But I can't see it happening in short. Oh, Simon.
Oh, the man's here. Right, I'm going to need to pause you. Can you wrap this up?
All right, well, thank you, Charles Bott. Thank you, Simon. We'll be back after this short intermission with the rest of One Life Left.
One Life Left, video game news with me, Charles Bott 1.1.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
You are listening to Resonance 104.4 FM, or maybe you're listening to the One Life Left podcast. We are a radio show and a podcast. We talk about video games. We've been doing that for 17 years on the world's greatest radio show. A radio station. We are far from the world's greatest radio show. And we are a podcast, as I've said. You can find the show notes at onelifeleft.com. I'm a little bit rattled, Simon, because this has been a very unusual post-news break. What just happened?
Well, sorry for interrupting Peter Moore's discussion with consoles. Obviously, I don't know what subreddits you follow, Steve, and I wouldn't dare to predict. But one I do follow is... do I follow it? Does it come up because it's seen that I've clicked on it before? Anyway, I see it on Reddit. I see Reddit /r/scams.
All the time. That's all I read.
Right. And that's where people go, is this a scam? Mm. And they show a screenshot of somebody on Facebook Marketplace who's selling a PlayStation 5 for £2, but they want to courier the money around and put it in your bank account first.
Yeah.
And then this person's spidey senses have sort of gone, is this a scam? Well, Steve, is this a scam? I've just given my wife's car to a man that as he was driving it off, I said to him, oh, sorry, I don't know your name. Anyway, so the man came.
Did he tell you?
He did. Well, he told me a name. So two men came. Mm-hmm. We made... he said, first of all, I didn't know whether you were in or not. And I didn't tell him that we were recording a computer games podcast. I said, yeah, no, I was just busy out the back, is what I said. And then I was immediately going to go, what football team do you support? But he sort of launched into it. He said, is this it then? Pointing at the car. I said, yeah. I said, I don't know why it won't start. Anyway, he said, you've got rubbish jump leads. And I went, yeah, yeah, do you yeah. don't I? And then he sent the other man. So he bought a contraption that he stuck on the car. He said to the other man, I'll meet you back at base. Mm-hmm. And the other man got in his car, and then the other man said, I'll just take this back and I'll give you a call before I do anything with it. And I said, okay, great. What was your name again? Anyway. Let's not play this to the insurance. But you've just admitted you willingly gave your car away to a man whose name you don't know. He does have a nice business card, though. Well, anyway, that's dealt with now. One less car to worry about, Steve.
Congratulations,
whatever happens,
Simon.
It'll be fixed one way or the other. I won't have to worry about it.
Problem solved. Yeah, we're a video game radio show. We talk about games. We've been doing that for the last, I don't know. Do you have any idea how long we've been talking? Because we've reset the clock, and that's going to make
it was 32 minutes.
32 minutes. So we've been doing that for 35 minutes, which means it's about time right now, I suppose, for the letters.
It could be.
It doesn't have to be.
I mean, for once, Steve, I've got some other business. Actually, it tails quite nicely with the theme of the show so far.
Okay. Well, go on. This is a surprise to me, listeners.
I went to the UK Members' Day in Birmingham on Thursday, where I was involved in a couple of panel discussions.
Nice.
I was up for an award. I didn't win, as per bloomin' usual. Always the bride mainstay. But there was a dinner that preceded the awards. I'd gone to the hotel to get changed. I got suited and booted. Mm-hmm. It's the second time I've worn that suit for an award I haven't won, Steve. I would have realised by now that that's the problem and not my own talent. As I was walking to the venue, who is it coming the other way? It's Charles Bott. It's the real Charles Bott with his Charles Bott partner. Heading to the wrong location for the awards. Mm-hmm. I said, I didn't realize you were going to be here. Yeah. So anyway, we walked back with them. Bumped into Jonathan Smith. He was there.
Everyone was there.
Everyone. Well, let me tell you, Steve, everybody was there, or were they? Now, I was going with a colleague, and we'd booked two seats at a larger table. It's always a little bit of a concern. Who are you going to be sat with? So I got there. There were a few people already sat down, and I did that thing that you do, like when you're at a wedding or what have you. I walked around the table and introduced myself, and there were some lawyers. There were a couple of marketing people. Anyway, next to me was on my left was my colleague. On my right was a placemat for Peter Molyneux. And next to Peter Molyneux was a placemat for Ian Livingstone, Sir Ian Livingstone.
What a table, Simon.
What a table. What a table. Now, my first thought is, does Pete and Molyneux know I wrote Uprising about him? No, it is. And it's written all over my face. Like, I'm like, oh. Because I like Peter Molyneux. Mm. I respect Peter Molyneux. We often make jokes about Peter Molyneux, but I think he'd recognise that as well. But then I'm going to have to eat a starter, a main course, and some pudding.
And your only topic of conversation apart from Queen's Park Rangers is Muse. You're going to have to, at some point, it's going to come up.
Well, Simon, if you were to write a Muse song about me, it'd be Uprising, Pete. And I only wrote it because We Will Be Victorious sounds like he's the man who made Populous. That's it.
Would that stand up in court, anyway, you think?
Ian Livingstone sits down, first of all, and I'm like, okay, I was like, this is a weird table. Like, there's lawyers, marketing agent, me and my colleague, a sir. Now, he's not like the Kingsleys. He doesn't turn up in armour, sadly, Ian Livingstone. Anyway,
we had a little chat. I don't think both Kingsleys do that, to be clear. It's just one of them.
No, but all sirs should.
Yeah, they should.
And so I'm chatting with Ian. It's nice to see him. I haven't seen him for ages. He's, you know, he's got lots of things on the go. We talked a little bit about you, Steve. Anyway, he gets text. He's always on his phone, isn't he, Ian? Mm. Gets text. It's blooming Molyneux, isn't it? Molyneux. I hope not. Well, I don't know what happened. Who am I sat next to then? Anyway, the upshot is Molyneux doesn't turn up. Okay. Oh. Now, I was going to nick his placemat, which I did mean to do. I left it there. I mean, actually, I was, you know, it would have been nice to have seen Peter. I was relieved from the sort of awkwardness that I wear very publicly. It did mean that we could all sort of spread out a little bit. Mm-hmm. A little bit more space. Did mean that we got two puddings. Thanks, Peter. Anyway, it turns out he had broken down in his car on the way to the awards. And I thought the indignity of, you know, actual video game royalty stuck on the M1. No, M1 could have been the M6 toll. I'm not sure. But
and that's why you've got those cables. Because you rush to the shop. You've got, I can sort this.
Yeah.
I'm a man with a phone and some cables.
What would you do? Like, as a passerby or the AA, you've got, you pull up, he's the man who made Populous. Off you go. Anyways, good night. Ian, Jonathan, Charles, Noreen, and Peter were all inducted into the UK Hall of Fame.
Wow, I didn't know there was a Hall of Fame. Are we
it
in
was
there?
First year for it. It's first year
okay.
for it.
Okay, next year.
Next year. Let's not drive up.
They've got to put us in, haven't they?
Oh, they've got.
If we keep going,
Yep.
Brilliant. Okay, time for letters.
Email, messages, and forward BCC. Army Life letters.
On the Discord from Tony Gowland, who wrote in as we were broadcasting last week. Dear team, I can't help but feel partly responsible for the glam episode. Since you reading out my LinkedIn post was the point the vibe really crashed and struggled to recover. Though it was you that chose to talk about a LinkedIn post. He is right. Oh, well, chin up. Someone replied that they are thriving. We can be happy. One New Zealand story cheat code on LinkedIn is entirely unaffected or bummed out by the current woes. Maybe Simon can bring a sense of renewed hope back from GDC. I'll do my best, Tony.
Second email, and it's one that we have to proceed with an apology. Dear team, hope you're all okay. You missed my message last week.
Sorry.
So I've added it here, says Simon S. Sorry, Simon. Hi, team and SSG. Hope you have a good week. I have a quick question. And just wondered, when one of you's off on holiday, why doesn't the other one have an SSG in to keep the show going? To Chris, sorry, I'd love to play male chess with you, but I'm not very good at chess. Specifically, I'm not good enough to keep up with moves. Have a good week, all. And also, an addendum for this week, I would like to ask Simon if he can grab any free merch for me. Another fellow Simon, have a good week and a good time at GDC. That's from Simon S. Well, good question.
Thank you, Simon S. We have covered in the olden days, didn't we, in the studio, we would rotate people in and out, wouldn't we, whilst others were around or not. And it seemed It was weird because it seemed easier to get people into a studio in London than it does to get them onto a Riverside FM call on a Monday lunchtime. And that's because, you know, as we've demonstrated, we have people coming around just to, you know, jack our cars.
I did think that maybe in the spirit of you turning Ramona into a YouTube superstar, whether I could get Alice to co-host One Life Left. I think it's a little bit early. She just turned 5. But I might try and record something this week while you're away. And if not, maybe there's a chance I'll invite one of my very famous industry friends in to take the hot seat. It'll be like Have I Got News For You, Simon, just rotating guest presenters. But otherwise, you know, what is One Life Left without us? Well, it's better.
It is better, yeah. And let's be clear, my departure will not be down to, you know, smelling substances with some paid-for company, which is how Have I Got For News, yeah. Have I Got News For You started rotating its guests in, Steve.
Indeed.
And your second point, Simon, I have over the last couple of years made a particular beeline for what I tell Dexter is video games tat. And I will pick you up something, Simon, at GDC. I'll pick you up some video games tat. And maybe you can send a review in. So it will be small. Because have you seen how much it costs to send anything these days, Steve?
Ridiculous.
It's over £1.
Who's got £1 these days? Cost of living.
No one's got pounds.
No one's got £1. Is that all the letters? I think that's all the letters.
It is all the letters. I think I couldn't see anything on the
that's cause
we've emails.
Because we've recorded slightly earlier today. We've caught people by surprise. I'm sure there are some last-minute letter writers composing their emails to us right now. But they're going to miss out. And that is a lesson to us all. Get your work in early. If you want to write us a letter for our returning show, which I think will be in 3 weeks' time, you can do so by emailing
team@onelifeleft.com. Is it really 3 weeks?
I think so.
Are we not going to do one on the 25th?
I assumed you were unavailable. Are you available? Then it's 2 weeks.
I can be available, yeah. No, absolutely. And that, but then it's Easter Monday.
Perfect. See you on the 25th. This is One Life Left on Resonance 104.4 FM. Because of Simon's carjacking experience, I have no idea how long there is left in the show. Did you say the first bit was 33 minutes?
It was 32 minutes when the man, you know, knocked on his door to ask whether he could steal my car, which I thought, you know, they're much more polite these days.
So we've got about 15 minutes left, which means we're going to get the reviews done. I should talk about, in my any other business part, I should talk about Black Diamond. What's going on with Black Diamond? Black Diamond, for those who are listening to One Life Left for the first time, Black Diamond is a game that I've been developing over the last few weeks in my spare time. It's a puzzle game, a clicky-click-click puzzle game, and you can find that linked exclusively on the One Life Left Discord. That is the only place you can play this free video game. And the idea is that I make it all myself. Now, I don't ask for any help. Apart from ChatGPT, who I am asking for a lot of help. But I'm doing the art myself, I'm doing the audio myself. The audio was terrible, so I took almost all of it out. Done the code myself. And the game design is all me as well. Well, this week, Simon, one step backwards, two steps forwards. I decided I was going to take the whole thing apart because it was getting a bit messy in the back end and to make some improvements. And as is often the way with games, start off with this grand vision, then realize it's better if you simplify. So the game started with a field of diamonds, segments that you can rotate, match, and they disappear. And initially you could rotate them 90 degrees, and then I limited that to 180 degrees. Initially, there was a conceit, collect the black diamonds. Well, this week I've ripped out the black diamonds.
What?
You don't collect black diamonds in Black Diamond. If anything, that makes the name better. People are like, why is it called Black Diamond? Or you've got to know the Black Diamond lore to really understand that. And I've introduced level progression as well. So there's a different goal now. You have to collect a certain number of
different types of colored gem, which is a very traditional free-to-play mobile experience. And you get power-ups by collecting what were the black diamonds. And then when you've completed a level, pushes you onto the next level, you have a limited number of moves, and those moves carry over to the next level. And it's how deep in the black diamond mine you can get before you run out of moves. It's getting good. I think it's genuinely getting good now I had this in. So I reckon, I said last week, another week of creative dev, I have scope crept, and there's at least another week of that to go. But as a project I'm doing in the evenings, pretty proud of it.
Good stuff. What's your most embarrassing comment in the code?
Oh, in the code. They're mostly apologies to future Steve, or like that kind of apology you do at the time, like, even though no one's ever going to read this, go, I'm not sure this is how you're supposed to do this, but, and then, boom, or, you know, I will move this later into a place where it should be, which is most of what I had to, most of the weekend was this kind of refactor where I was going through those bits and trying to tidy it up, because the more weeks of iterative game development you do like this, the harder it gets to add stuff. And even if that adding stuff is actually taking away stuff, it gets really complicated.
What are you using for version control?
Git.
I was just asked that question.
I had to introduce that. Like, previous to this, I was literally just saving backups every so often. But again, as it gets more complicated, it gets worrying. And when you do one of these big refactors, the biggest fear is you'll lose everything, right? So these major changes you make, you go, okay, what happens if this doesn't work? And I'll end up in a huge mess and being unable to undo it. So yes, I have a Git repo.
Yeah, that's probably what I'd use.
Good. All right, time for the reviews. Simon, what have you been playing this week?
Well, Steve, I continue playing Banishers, Ghosts of New Eden. It's getting a bit long now. I've got to a new big area. I think it's going to go on for... Am I going to finish it? I do want to finish it. But, it feels like it could have just stopped now.
I was talking about this and you with a friend of the show, Ian, a couple of nights ago, about RoboCop specifically. He was what's it like? I was like, well, Simon really enjoyed it, but like all games, just goes on.
Goes on.
Just goes on. And don't know whether that's a product of us being old and time poor, or whether games are just going on a bit these days.
Going on a bit. I did take some time to deviate and play the remake of Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, which was released recently. Brothers was a celebrated indie game. I don't know, I can't remember exactly when it came out, but it was praised for its innovative... There we go, you can hear... That's the sound of somebody Googling. Mm-hmm. It was praised
2013,
for its,
sorry.
2013, 100 years ago. Mm. Praised for its innovative use of controllers, where your left hand controlled one brother, your right hand controlled another, and it was... was a short linear narrative puzzle game where you use their different, slightly different abilities in order to go through, you know, an emotional tale. Loved it when I played it originally, was keen to see how it stands up. It feels like it's not quite fully formed at the moment. I was running out of the ROG Ally, and it wasn't running as well as some AAA games can do at the moment. I enjoyed what I played so far, but I am going to pause it there and hopefully wait for it to be patched so that some of the visual glitches and stuff like that can be ironed out. I mean, yeah, I do want to get back to it because I've forgotten a lot about it. But at the moment, I'm gonna leave it cooking. 7 out of 10.
So I've been playing Animal Crossing through the lens of Alice, who received her Switch for her birthday last week and has been playing it in very, you know, time-limited sense. Seemed like a really good game to introduce her to because there's a lot of reading in it and she's very, very good at reading and enjoys it a lot. And because the tasks are quite simple and, you know, theoretically it gets boring quite fast. Now, it turns out a 5-year-old child will run around picking up branches forever. So not quite as boring as I'd hoped. And it's also a really, really good game to teach her essentially controls on a console, because it's top down, up means up, down means down, left means left, and right means right. She's really enjoying it, and I'm really, really enjoying revisiting that world, which is so beautifully crafted, so well scripted. 7 out of 10. But I also want to talk to you about my gaming triumph this week, Simon.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so went to the gym.
I thought you were looking buff, actually.
How many
reps did you do?
You know, 12, 13,
maybe. Did you join the gym?
I've been a member for ages and ages. I used to go much more often than I did now. I did my knee running and then went on a rehab course, an NHS rehab course, and then they offered you half price at the gym if you completed the rehab course. So I took that. I had a very, very funny induction session where I tried to bluff to the man running the induction session. I was like, I've seen all this stuff before. And then he was like, so do you warm up? And I was like, yeah, of course I do.
Don't need to, mate.
And he said, show me.
Oh, drop them.
So I thought, oh my God, I don't know how this works. So I just remembered what I've seen cricketers do at the Oval, and I just kind of lay on the floor, just making shapes with my body.
You put some pads on, did you? Put a box on?
And he said, get up. And then he showed me how to warm up and walk down, which I do not do. Anyway, I went to the gym on last Monday and I forgot my headphones, which is the worst thing you can possibly do at the gym. I'd like got there and I was like, oh Christ, I'm not going home, but now I have to stay here for an hour. I need something to distract myself. So got on the bike and I started playing Puzmo. I started playing really bad chess on Puzmo. Now, Simon, I must have looked like the perfect man at the gym, getting ripped, playing chess.
Exercising the mind as well as the body.
Can you imagine what people thought when they saw me?
Stee the muscle current.
Anyway, I played a round of really, really, really bad chess. And because I was in a different situation, I was thinking slightly more about my moves and thinking about it. Well, Simon, imagine my surprise when I was first in the world.
At running?
Top of the leader. That as well. It said, the treadmill went, and by the way, you've just broken a couple of world records as well. I was first in the world. It was real. And I was like, well, this is interesting. Really a new era of Steve being brilliant at chess. Next day I played it again and I was literally last in the world. So there we go.
Oh.
But still, one night, I got beaten in the early hours of the morning by someone in America, but so still finished second in the world. You literally can't get better than second. So
you can't. I'm going over there soon. I'll have a word with them.
Please do. Please do. 7 out.
We've got a couple of reviews on the Discord. Kenjara reviewed Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. He says mostly good-looking game, full of low-effort fetch quests and mini games. And Chadley, then there's a spoiler. Chadley. Its so-called universal acclaim is living proof that game journalism is fundamentally broken. The card game and musical score are amazing, though. 7 out of 10. Tony reviewed Cocoon, says, went back to it because it keeps winning awards, and I got to another one hit and you have to start over boss fights. I still haven't done anything I would consider a puzzle, which is odd for a puzzle game. Brackets, noticing what order icons are in is not a puzzle. An invisible maze is not a puzzle. Close brackets. I think there is maybe a puzzle game for people who don't actually want to be stuck at puzzles, want to feel like they've solved puzzles, sort of like Lemmings. It's always fairly obvious what you're meant to do. The only challenge is if you can be bothered putting the time in to do it. It's very pretty, but also really sterile and unsurprising stuff and just dull. The visual of popping in and out of globes is really nice, though. 7 out of 10!
Thanks, Tony, and thanks to all of our contributors this week. Really enjoyed it today, Simon, despite the technical hitches and
car theft.
Maybe because of the car theft. We'll see you all in 2 weeks' time.
That's quite a cliffhanger, Steve, isn't it? How are we going to let everybody know whether it's worked out?
They'll have to subscribe to r/scams, won't they? Till then, goodbye!
Goodbye!